The first reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 4. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 3. "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, because he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is John chapter 10, 11 to 18. the gospel that you've just heard. The sermon title is Hearing Jesus' Voice. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in last week's gospel lesson, which was from Luke 24, we heard about how Jesus appeared to the disciples after his resurrection and proved that he had indeed risen from the dead. He told them that his resurrection had been prophesied in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms of the Old Testament. As a result of his victory over death and the grave, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, and that the disciples were to be witnesses of all these things. In today's gospel lesson, we hear about how believers hear Jesus' voice today through the Holy Scriptures, the church, its pastors, and its faithful teachers and faithful lay people. He says in verse 16, they, and that is you and me, will listen to my voice. He's seeing into the future, the history of the church. In verse 27 that follows our gospel, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There are many other things that Jesus says in our gospel about his relationship to believers, but today we'll just focus on the phenomena of hearing Jesus' voice, a voice which we hear as both law and gospel. What does Jesus mean when he says, my sheep hear my voice, and when he says they will listen to my voice? It is clear in this gospel that Jesus is using metaphorical language. He talks about himself being a shepherd. And in your bulletin, you can see how recent artists, have depicted Jesus as the Good Shepherd. It's a very popular motif and very popular thing that shows up in many paintings and stained glass, things like that. And he's the shepherd, you and I are the sheep. Now, the last time I checked my own body, I was not covered with fleas. I don't know about any of you, but I won't look too closely. I don't have hooves or horns. I didn't have any up there last night. Don't have a tail, and I don't bleat or baa. Jesus does not, like shepherds, literally live out in the meadows, camping out under the stars with a shepherd's crook or staff in his hand. So when Jesus talks about his voice, this too should be understood metaphorically. So we first have to say, well, what does he not mean by this? What does it mean to hear Jesus' voice? When I was a teenager, there was a lady in my home congregation who prayed every night to Jesus. That was a good thing. Nothing unusual about that, except that Jesus talked back to her. At least that's what she claimed. Now, I always thought that she was half joking until one day she came up. This is a true story. She came up to me after church and told me that Jesus told me to date her daughter. Now, you can bet that got my attention. She said that Jesus told her that it was God's will that I date her daughter and then marry her someday. Now, I thought about that for a minute. I don't remember whether I was even thinking about dating her daughter before. But then, at that point, I decided I better not even start a relationship that would end up with me having a mother-in-law who would tell me every morning what God wanted me to do, because God told her. Oh, I thank God every day I don't have a mother-in-law like that. She has her problems. I have my problems, but thank God it's not that problem. So this is just one example of what Jesus did not mean by hearing his voice. So what does Jesus mean when he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they will listen to my voice"? The Lutheran Church teaches very clearly on this topic that Jesus' voice is present when and where the Word of God is preached, taught, read, heard, and contemplated. This Word of God is found in the Scriptures, the Bible, where the voice of Jesus and the voice of the Spirit is inscribed for all time. It is not a private voice that you hear in a dream, a vision, a trance, or inside of your head. Jesus' voice is the words and teaching of the Bible. When they are spoken out loud, when you hear them, or when you read it for yourself, which you can do with your own Bible. The Lutheran Church rejects the claims of those people who say that they hear a private or internal voice of Jesus apart from the Scriptures. In the Small Called Articles, we confess this, and I read this at length because it directly deals with this issue. Small Called Articles are part of the Book of Concord, and it was written by Martin Luther. Here's what it says. In these matters which concern the external spoken word, we must hold firmly to the conviction that God gives no one his spirit or grace except through or with the external word which comes before. Thus we shall be protected from the enthusiasts, that is, from the spiritualists, who boast that they possess the Spirit without and before the external word, and who therefore judge, interpret, and twist the Scriptures or spoken word according to their pleasure. Even those who have come to faith before they were baptized, and those who came to faith in baptism, came to faith through the external word, that is, the Scriptures or the spoken word, which preceded their faith. Adults who have attained the age of reason must first have heard, quote, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved," even if they did not at once believe and did not receive the Spirit and baptism until 10 years later. We should and must constantly maintain that God will not deal with us except through his external word in Scriptures or in speech and sacrament. Whatever is attributed to the Spirit apart from such word and sacrament is of the devil. End of quote. That's Small Called Articles, Article 3, Section 8. The Lutherans of the 16th century and Luther himself defended this position against several competing alternatives. The Anabaptists, or enthusiasts, claimed that God spoke to them directly apart from Scripture, like that lady at my home congregation. They have their modern-day counterpart in Pentecostals and Charismatics, who claim the same thing. The mystics among the Roman Catholics historically have also claimed that God spoke to them directly or gave them revelations through visions. The mystics in that church still claim the same thing today, although today their authenticity is checked and confirmed by church officials. Finally, the Church of Rome claimed at one time and still does that whatever the Pope declares is Jesus' voice, and you must follow it under penalty of hell and damnation. That is still the position of the Church of Rome today. The Pope is the official representative of Jesus. So when you hear the Pope's voice, you're hearing Jesus' voice. That's their position. The Lutherans followed the early church's judgment in these matters, which taught that Jesus' voice is heard only in church, only when the ministers of the church preach and teach according to Jesus and the apostles' words. In the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, it states, here's another quote from the Book of Concord, quote, "We know that the Church of Christ is among those who teach the gospel of Christ, not among those who defend wicked opinions against the gospel, as the Lord says, 'My sheep hear my voice.'" St. Augustine says, the question is, where is the church? What shall then we do? Shall we seek it in our own words or in the words of the church's head, that is, our Lord Jesus Christ? I think we should seek it in the words of him who is the truth and who knows his own body best. That's a quote of St. Augustine that's inside the Apology. That's from Article 4, Section 400. These words of Jesus, "My sheep hear my voice, and they will listen to my voice," thus have a very important lesson for you, the believer. First, if you want to be part of Jesus' flock, you need to listen. You need to listen to the words of Jesus. Coming to church, as you all do, is a waste of your time and energy if you don't listen to the absolution, the Bible lessons, the sermon, and the words of institution in the sacrament. You need to listen to those words, think about them, and try to understand them as best as you are able. When you pay attention to those words, you're paying attention to Jesus. And that's for your own benefit and eternal salvation. Second, if you want to be part of Jesus' flock, you should only go to church where the gospel of Jesus is proclaimed and the word of God is taught and explained. If the preacher, that's right here, sets forth his own ideas or his own doctrines contrary to scriptures, you should vote with your feet. Jesus says in verse 5, just before our text, quote, "The sheep will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger." When you have a choice in churches, and some people don't because of where they live, in a certain country or way out in the country, your first criteria should be whether the preacher preaches and teaches according to the scriptures. You should not choose a church because it has great music, and we do have great music, a beautiful sanctuary, and we do have a beautiful sanctuary, huge crowds, lots of wealthy or cultured members, exciting and relevant programs, or anything else. If the preacher teaches contrary to the scripture, the audience is listening to the voice of a stranger, not to Jesus. So in our gospel, Jesus is warning you, beware the voice of strangers and wolves in sheep's clothing. May you always listen to Jesus' voice for your temporal and eternal benefit. In our good shepherd's name, amen.